Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So let's talk about that part, the military, potential military parade. I think the last one, last type of military parade we had in this country, I saw, I think it was on channel on CBS this morning, Adam and Lindsay, was post-Gulf War, right? 1991, coming back. It was what we thought was a very short, effective war, right? Norman Schwarzkopf, Colin Powell, George H.W. Bush, Dick Cheney, right? And coming back and celebrating, I guess, that we picked up on it in Iraq maybe a decade or so later. And obviously, historically, we've had many military parades after other wars coming back. The president talked about this often as a candidate, that he would love to see this and doesn't understand why we don't have this. And then when he was in France, said it's the greatest parade I've seen, and I don't understand why we don't have it. I think a lot of us, when we think of a lot of these military parades, what do we think of? Dictatorships. Individuals.
Goose-stepping.
I mean, just, you know, North Korea, Russia, right today. Now, France, I mean, it's very different from those two countries. Would I be offended by it? No. Zero. Do I think we need it? No. Right? If the president and today, if the Senate bipartisan budget deal passes the House, and I think there's still huge questions about that, because I think you're going to see the far left and the far right, many members who are against this. So just because it passes the Senate, there's more extremists, and maybe, and a lot of people want that too, who may not pass it. But if this bill does pass, it's a lot more money in the military. If you want to have a lot more money in the military, we can have that debate. We don't need a lot more money directed towards a parade. I would say today, if you ask me, is it going to happen? 0 to 10? I'm a 9.5. Because the candidate, who's now the president, has been talking about it over and over again. He wants to be there. He wants to be the commander-in-chief who believes it, who brings this back. He thinks it shows power that reflects on him, reflects on our country, and reflects elsewhere. So, am I going to be disappointed? I'm, hell no. I mean, what our military does and people, it's remarkable. But do we need this? No. Should we have it? I don't think we need it. But when you have somebody who's talked the way he has for as long as he has, I fully expect it to happen. What do you think?
As to now whether it'll happen, I guess, probably. I'm like you, I'm not terribly offended by it. I can see where people who don't like the president and equate him to
dictator.
Other dictators.
Yeah.
Point to this and say, see, this is the proof. You know, and if it's any other president to suggest this, I'm probably a little more accepting of it. But
yeah. Which we can just make that caveat every story we talk about. You think it's going to happen?
No.
Don't think it's going to happen. No. Okay, Lindsay, what do you think?
I think it's going to happen. And my only issue with it is, after the fact, if all of the attention is on President Trump when the attention should be on the military. Because we know what's going to happen. We know it's going to be spun as, here is a parade for our military who deserve all of the applause.
100%.
And the pride and
correct.
The applause. It's, yes, absolutely. Should we celebrate our military every frickin' day? But we know that's not what's going to happen at this thing.
It's going to be, look at what I've done.
Look at me, look at me, because that's what everything has been since he took office.
Look at how The military was in tatters, was shattered, and I have now brought it back. So that absolutely would be a huge part of it. 7 past 2, here's Adam with an update.
I eat difficult conversations for breakfast.
I would still talk to him, though. I'd ride with Chester.
Are we going to do our draft here?
Next segment. Next segment. Because I got a couple other political nuggets. Wow.
I've become a big eye roll guy. It's worn off on me. My significant other rolls her eyes all the time.
Yeah.
Now it's rubbed off.
How do you like that?
It's usually in jest, so
yeah.
I don't mind it.
What if it's not in jest?
Then it's kind of bugs me.
Yeah, then it's not good, right?
You don't like the eye roll.
No. Where do you stand on the eye roll, Lindsay?
I do it a lot, too.
Yeah.
The eye roll emoji.
But, I mean, but when it's in jest.
No,
what
no, no. I eye roll people in public. Yeah. Like,
I don't like that.
There were these people in my gym class last night, like in an actual class where the instructor is, you know, talking you through it, and they were talking in the back the whole time, and I just eye rolled the whole way through. Was my way of passive aggressively telling them to shut up.
I think when Lindsay and I were leaving Radio Row on Friday, we saw someone that you gave the eye roll to that we couldn't believe showed up.
Oh, oh my God. I literally almost fell over.
Wait.
Can we say it on air?
Well, let's go with it. I mean, so wait, somebody showed up.
Someone was walking Radio Row as Adam and I were leaving, and we both stopped and like looked at each other like, the sky had just fallen.
Yeah. Well, that's when I lost my Bally Bunyan hat, too, so I'm still devastated by it. Mall of America.
You lost it again?
Yeah, I lost it. So there was...
Well, that's meant to be.
But I had it for 13 years.
It was a good run for a stocking hat.
Yeah.
Honestly, on.
Mall of America, if you have a gray Bally Bunyan hat, you know what it's saying? Chad.
Yeah.
Come get me, Chad. Okay, so who was it? Give me the story.
Reggie Lynch.
Reggie Lynch was coming out to Radio Row?
Yeah.
Yep.
Seriously?
Yep.
To do interviews?
Well, it looked like he had handlers
with him, and he was being escorted out. Adam and I literally stopped, and we were walking different directions, and we both saw him and stopped, and I had to pick my jaw up off the ground.
Wow.
I think my exact words were, that's brave.
Unless he was just going out to be a fan.
Do we know he was on with anybody?
I don't.
I mean,
he could have just been going out as.
All right, well, let's do the draft. Okay, you want to do the draft?
I don't have the.
Oh, well.
Well, I'm just asking you what so I can prepare.
Oh. Okay, so next segment.
Yeah, next segment.
Okay. Let's get to the FBI techs, right? Because this has been a big debate for a while. The bias is there, right? The opinions are there. How powerful are they? How pervasive were they? What do they mean? This is the two, speaking of extramarital affairs, this is the FBI couple, Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, who are texting each other about many things, including the items about President Obama. When the Hillary investigation was going on, when the text was that Obama wanted to know everything we're doing about the Hillary emails, which would completely conflict with what President Obama said, I do not talk to the Attorney General about pending investigations. I do not talk to FBI directors about pending investigations. We have a strict line. If you are to believe these folks who were more sympathetic, well, let's just put it this way. They were very blunt in their criticism of Donald Trump. Okay. I mean, very insulting in their comments about Ken Trump. So if you're just saying, well, these are two Republicans, no, they're not, at least in their views of Trump. How concerning would that be? How concerning should it be if Obama was just flat out lying, if we are to believe these individuals, and was getting involved when we're critical of Donald Trump? Are you on my team? Are you loyal to me? I'll fire you. If Obama was fraudulent and trying to check up on what was going on with Hillary emails, because I think he would look pretty foolish. Now, this is one part of the story. This is, you know, what was going on at the time from these any individuals. And as we know, if you hate Obama, you're going to not believe anything. If you love him, you'll probably believe anything they say. But if more information came out, Carter, How damning would it be on Barack Obama?
It's pretty damning.
I think it would be significantly damning, right? And for those folks who talk about this separation, and I completely agree, when the president has, this president, Donald Trump, has just stretched things with FBI directors and deputy attorney generals and attorney generals. Well, it's not to this level, let's be clear, with Obama from this, but it would be something that presidents 100% should not be doing. We got another story about radio hosts and pranking top people. This time it's Adam Schiff, who right now somewhere is doing an interview. Let's just say on TV. I mean, Adam Schiff, who is the Democrat in charge of the, you know, the House Intelligence Committee. I mean, he's on TV incessantly, right? But that the Daily Mail found the audio of a prank pulled off last year by a couple Russian radio hosts, okay, where the pranksters claimed that Trump had an affair with a Russian model and singer. We've got compromising materials, well, including their pictures of naked Trump. Take that in. Schiff responded, obviously we'd welcome the chance to get these copies. Can you just call Adam Schiff's office and say, hey, I'm so-and-so, make up a name, Lindsay, and you just get on the phone with Adam Schiff that quickly?
Well, that's the issue with where we are right now. Everyone wants to be the first to break things, and things fall through the cracks. We've seen it over and over again.
Yeah, but I'm not blaming. Let me be clear who I'm blaming. I'm blaming Adam Schiff.
Absolutely. No,
this isn't like the media. This is, come on, Schiff, you can't have other staffers to say, who in the hell are these people? Do they have any credibility as opposed to the wacky morning zoo in Moscow? Which I'd love to be on, Carter. Wouldn't you like to be on the wacky morning zoo, have us on as a guest?
Pay is good.
I want as a guest. I don't want to go there.
Wait, so you think that they just called and said, we want to talk to Adam Schiff, and they got put through.
They probably set something up. I mean, I don't think it's too tough to create a...
I get people. I could be lying.
So you think the two of you could right now call Adam Schiff's office over a period of days and weeks and set something up and eventually get on the phone with Adam Schiff about the Russian investigation?
Well, I'll say this.
Enough, yeah.
So it is very clear when I work with booking guests who has a plan in place. Like you like Nicholas Thompson from Wired.
Yeah.
And he's normally a guest.
He's been giving us the Heisman too much lately. Let's go, Nick.
Well, anyway. Yeah. Okay. Off subject.
Awesome.
When I tried to book him the last time, a woman called me and wanted to talk about what we were going to talk about, what the station is like. Could I send over some audio of what the show was like?
What audio would you have sent him?
I sent her some, you know, great Chad Hartman highlights. No, yeah. I just sent her a list of the podcasts. I think she was just making sure that we were an actual news organization.
Right, right.
But some people—
apparently they're not if they got him.
A lot of people do that, though.
Okay, but I agree. I just think when it's the leading Democrat who's out there talking about the credibility and how this matters so much, you shouldn't be able to pull a stunt off it. If somebody fools us, that's one thing. I think now the goal is, Adam, to see if you can put something together and get a hold of Adam Schiff and do some – the Love Doctor. Let's see if the Love Doctor can get to Adam Schiff with some information. My gosh. Is it possible that Nick Thompson didn't come on the show, Adam, because he listened to the sound bites and went, I don't really think I should go on that show. And Lindsay, should we blame him? I don't know.
I think it was the day I was gone.
Oh, that's it. 21 best deal. All right, here we go. It's our second Olympics, where we're going to pick a sport, the three of us will each have a sport and a country that we'll have to give periodic updates on. Now, if it's that sport and it only goes on for like 3-4 days, I guess we'll need multiple.
Well, I've narrowed it down to one event.
Oh, one event.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, because you did this. So explain how you came up with the criteria.
Well, for countries, I thought, okay, you know, let's eliminate the big dogs, the U.S.'s, Canada's. What?
Oh, just the way you said it, like there was multiple U.S.'s and Canada's.
The U.S.'s, the big Canada's.
Oh, the Nordic countries.
Yes.
So I'm thinking, okay, let's take all countries that are, have few athletes. Well, there are a lot of countries that only have like one, two, three athletes.
Yeah, it's a better way to go.
So I said, okay, countries between that have at least between 5 and 10 athletes participating.
Okay.
So I found 10 countries, and then I picked 10 events, specific event. It's a single event.
Got it.
I tried to, but the as I was telling you earlier, they're not that many. It's not nearly
it's different.
The same as the Summer Olympics. There's so many events that Winter Olympics really doesn't have that many.
All right, so you go first.
You want me to pick first?
Yeah, you pick first. How about let's just do this?
I think you should pick for all of us.
Yeah, that's what
I should say. We'll do like a drum roll.
Yeah, we'll do a drum roll, right?
So who's first?
Where's Shomp? You go first. Okay, this is for you.
This is my country. Hey, look at that. Ireland.
Ireland.
Yes.
There we go. Very good.
Not rigged at all.
Lindsay's next.
Lindsay will be Brazil.
Brazil. Oh, very good.
I had a Brazil exchange student in high school. His name was Daniel.
Okay, so you're going to tell us all about Daniel and how you drove to Michigan with him, and then he dumped you, and then you went back to Cougar. Who was the guy again?
Cougar. Phil.
Phil or Fruff, and then we get to Fruff. Okay, my country is
Lithuania.
Oh, I love Lithuania.
A lot of basketball players.
Oh, yeah.
Well, my best friend is Lithuania.
That's going to do me a lot of good in the Winter Olympics. Yeah. Okay.
Why isn't basketball a Winter Olympics sport?
It should be.
Yes.
It should be. So jot this down. You're jotting this down, Lindsay? Okay.
All right.
So let's just review. You get Ireland. What a shocker. Lindsay gets Brazil, and I get Lithuania.
Yeah.
All right. I like it so far. Let's go.
Now, this is the event.
This is the event.
Reverse order?
Let's go reverse order.
Chad's event first.
I go first.
Chad, you will be our correspondent for mixed doubles curling.
Of course. Yeah. You know, I'm in the curling. Okay. Mixed doubles curling. I got to be honest. I didn't even know that was an event.
Well, now you know.
I better know a lot more.
And Lindsay will be the correspondent for doubles luge.
Oh, wow.
Actually, that's the one I wanted.
Yeah, of course you did. Typical.
You know, two people with really
sleek
suits on, laying on top of each other, going down a frozen tube.
Okay.
I have a crack on my shoulder, not a chip.
Okay, we're on the air now. Settle down, Tiger.
Okay, and my event will be
beer drinking, beer pong.
Ooh, women's skeleton.
Women's skeleton. Quickly, what is skeleton?
It's like luge,
hockey.
Except no, skeleton is.
Oh,
luge,
that's
but
right.
You're face first.
That's right. Oh,
they're like they look like they're being shot out of a cannon.
Yes. Yeah. I don't.
I'm excited. So let me get the premise of this.
Yes.
We start because the first events are Thursday. The big opening is Friday. So Monday I come in hot and heavy to tell you about the double luge participants for Brazil.
Yeah.
Well, no. It's separate. You have to stay updated on.
Oh, they're separate.
Brazil's Olympic team.
Yeah, how Brazil's Olympic team is doing.
Oh, I see.
And
the
event.
The double luge.
So,
got it. Okay.
So, but if let's
I'm glad
say,
I clarified.
But let's say if it's the double luge and it's over, we don't need another report like a week later.
Yeah.
So like when your event's going on, we maybe need bonus for 2-3 days, give us updates.
Factoids about Brazil.
Yeah, and factoids, yeah. Do you have any
Daniel could be a correspondent.
Daniel could be. Well, we did.
Daniel Homio.
We did remember when one of the Olympics where we had a listener who was going and joined us once or twice, but we had all sorts of technical issues. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So if you're going to South Korea and you'd like to be our correspondent and you'd like to pay all the costs.
And do it for free.
And do it for free. For maybe a Sid CD.
Yeah.
We'll go get you a Sid CD.
Maybe Tom Delmonico is available.
Tom Delmonico.
I wonder if he's got credentialed for the Olympics.
I'm told he may be joining us, that there's a lot of negotiations going on, mainly with the censors. That's mainly where it's at right now. Just a stunning display yesterday with SpaceX and Falcon Heavy and what took place and what it meant yesterday. And every bit as important what it means going forward. Please be joined by Victoria Jaggert, who is the senior science editor for National Geographic. She knows this topic extraordinarily well. Lindsay did a great job tracking her down. Victoria, I appreciate it so much. As we just take in yesterday, we'll get to what it means going forward in a little bit, but what was most impressive to you about what Elon Musk and his entire crew pulled off yesterday?
Gosh, the most impressive thing to me is that it didn't explode.
That probably is, I guess, every day when we see something like that happen, and something like this just doesn't happen every day. So the people who follow this most closely, how optimistic or how realistic did they think the success they had yesterday would happen the way it unfolded?
Well, it's always tough with a new space launch vehicle of any kind. I mean, a rocket is basically a controlled explosion, sending, in this case, a sports car barreling off of the surface of the Earth, which is kind of crazy when you stop and think about it right there. So to be able to do this with basically what was untested technology, this was their demonstration flight. This was them saying, we've built this massive rocket. It is incredibly powerful, the most powerful as far as lifting stuff off the Earth since the Saturn V that sent humans to the moon. We're going to make this work. The fact that their very first attempt was not only a successful, beautiful, by-the-books launch, but then they were able to take those side boosters and, in like a ballet choreograph, bring them back down to Earth and land vertical like that is just phenomenal.
Obviously, you know, one, they had more issues with, and they're going to have to correct that. But I'm with you 100%. When they come down and they land that way, it just, it was breathtaking.
Exactly. It's like a science fiction moment. You really haven't seen this stuff outside of, you know, 1950s sci-fi.
And, I mean, you see this photo of the where they're showing the vehicle as where it's at, and you're like, well, this is fake. And, I mean, people have to say over and over again, no, that's not fake. This isn't like, you know, the Life on Mars limited show here and the run in England. This is actually the photo they took.
Exactly. They have cameras on board that platform with the Tesla Roadster, and you can watch that live. That's not a fake. You can sit there and watch the Earth pass by. You can see it as the sun moves in and out of shining on the car. You can see the moon in the distance in exactly the right phase. Like, I guess I wouldn't put it past Hollywood to be able to do some pretty spectacular things, but that would be seriously hard work to fake at this point.
Who is Musk hiring? Is he competing with NASA and just paying these folks more? Is he finding new individuals? Who are the brilliant people who make up his team?
I have to say, I don't know a ton personally about the employees at SpaceX and what their employment history is like. I think, you know, he's competing for workforce, not just with NASA, but with a number of private spaceflight companies. Blue Origin, for instance, and Orbital ATK have contracts as well with NASA, being able to send create rockets and send cargo to the ISS. So there's a lot of, you know, really smart people doing some really amazing stuff. And I'm sure when it comes to a company like SpaceX, they're attracting some of the top-notch folks for sure.
So what does this do to the other competitors that you just alluded to, right? I mean, we don't know in the end where all of this will match up, but this obviously was an enormous victory for Musk and his team and gives them a large lead. Does this change the timetable for any of these other companies? Does it force any of these other companies out? What's your feeling about that?
I guess it depends on what you want to accomplish when it comes to private spaceflight, because especially for SpaceX, you know, they've been great at setting firsts, but I think what's really impressive for any of these companies is being able to do it again to the point where it's no longer that exciting. Like, that's what you really want to get to, is the point where it's as routine as taking an airplane across country. Because what they need to do more than anything is prove at this stage reliability. Can they do it again?
What do some of the other companies, what do they want to do which is different than what Musk and his team are doing already?
Well, Orbital ATK, for instance, is launching out of Virginia, just a little bit south of where I am in Washington, D.C. And they're also in the business of sending cargo to the International Space Station. They're filling that niche of being able to work with what we already have in orbit. And that is an incredibly important and powerful part of what we want to accomplish when it comes to spaceflight, because sending up one rocket and being able to say, yay, we did it, is, of course, an impressive accomplishment.
Yeah,
but being able to do it, you know, like taking a taxi cab, that's really great, too.
Victoria Jaggert is with us, senior science editor, National Geographic, off the incredible display by Elon Musk and his team yesterday. So over the next 2-3 years, what does Musk want to do next?
Well, aside from continuing to prove these rocket capabilities, he's got the Falcon Heavy is now the world's most powerful operational vehicle. Of course, what we'll want to see next is that they're able to have a science payload to actually get some type of satellite or probe up into orbit or deeper into the solar system. Musk, being Musk, is very focused on his next ambitious goal, which is what's called the Big Falcon Rocket, or the BFR. And that's the one that he's hoping will eventually get humans out deeper into the solar system.
So realistically, in their greatest dreams, but also when other people look at it and say you have to be realistic about what's going on, how soon is that?
I'm sure not as soon as he would hope. Yeah. He's thrown out some pretty crazy numbers, talking about moon colonies by the 2060s, Mars colonies by the 2060s. I think realistically speaking, there's a lot of engineering challenges that would need to be solved that are above and beyond what a rocket can do.
Yep.
Not to mention getting the rocket to the point where it's safe enough to send people and not just sports cars.
So what does this do to NASA itself? You know, President Trump's talked about, you know, that we need to bring some of the power and some of the prominence, maybe some of the money back to NASA that he feels like maybe some previous administrations didn't. Now when we see these other private enterprises having either great success or making inroads, do we have any idea how NASA is going to play this, or how the federal government is going to play it? Are they stepping back in some ways, or are they doing whatever they feel like they need to do, which is separate from what these companies are doing?
SpaceX and the other private companies, if anything, they're helping NASA by being able to have these accomplishments, because what they're doing is bringing down the cost of some of the more routine elements of space travel. Having the Falcon 9, having Antares, being able to send stuff up to the ISS, that's then NASA budget money that they don't have to spend. They can focus on the really big, ambitious dreams, on getting probes to the moons of Jupiter, on getting stuff farther out into the solar system. So, and I mean, these space companies, they've accomplished a lot as private industries,
yep.
But bear in mind that's with contracts from the federal government as well. There's a lot they wouldn't have been able to do if places like NASA, for instance, hadn't had faith in them and been willing to work with them.
The fact that this has received so much publicity over the 24 hours, I think most of us believe rightfully so. Does this help these companies? Does this help Musk in some other tangible way?
I'm sure like any media moment, it's going to have both its pros and cons. He's already received some level of criticism for the sports car,
yep.
For instance. A lot of people don't see that necessarily as being the wisest use of your resources or sending the right message.
Yeah, right. Although he can come back and say, my money, right?
Basically.
And if he can also do that to promote himself and his brand, you know, you follow this closer than me. That's pretty much what he's been doing forever, right?
And it is getting people excited again about space, which is a big part, I think, of what we forget about the space race. It wasn't just the government made the decision. The public collective was hungry for us to be able to beat the USSR at its own game, for us to be the first in this particular instance. And we missed out on a couple opportunities. They beat us with satellites. They beat us with a person in space. They beat us with the first woman in space. And so we had to, you know, really race to make some ground and have that national pride. And so I'm sure a lot of that plays into it, too. This is getting people excited about space. It's getting people excited about the possibilities. And I think, you know, that sort of speaks for itself.
So let's finish with this, and I'll let you go. What are other countries doing right now on their own private entrepreneurs. They're Jeff Bezos. They're Elon Musk. We have other countries, which already have space travel through the government. Do they have people trying to do something similar?
You know, I would love to know the answer to that question, actually. I think, you know, there are plenty of other countries, India, China, Japan. Europe has its own set of launch vehicles for getting satellites into orbit, which is great. What are their private industries doing? I'm afraid I don't personally know, but I would certainly love to know more about what that could possibly look like.
Victoria, enjoyed the conversation. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Victoria Jaggert, Senior Science Editor for National Geographic. 2:47, that is the Lindus Construction Time Check. Time to learn why Lindus Construction has served over 75,000 happy customers since 1979. You can jump in. If we're not in, you just jump in. I mean, you're full.
I was ready. I was ready to go into this.
You're just going to back-to-back
yeah,
bumper?
Yeah, I was going to go from Sweet Disposition to Beyonce Naughty Girl.
Yeah? Ooh. Should we just start playing music for like 7 minutes at the end of the show? I'm sure some people don't like the show, would prefer that. Let me get to
Benny Goodman.
Some people think, you know, SpaceX is a big deal, Falcon Heavy is a big deal. Let me get to another very important situation. A survey on how often the average person washes his or her sheets. I mean, this one really hits home. Okay. What's your guess, Lindsay? Average person. How often do they wash their sheets? The typical person. We'll get into some of the differences in a little bit, but the typical person.
Typical person, I'm saying every 2 months.
Every 2 months?
So 6 to 8 weeks.
Okay. It's in days. We'll just go 60 days for Lindsay. Is it Guntzel or Gensel?
Gensel.
Gensel. Let's go Gensel. How about you, Adam
you
Robert?
Said the
Cohen?
Average is 60 days?
60.
Oh.
Yeah, that's your guess. Your guess, the average person.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think it's that long. I'm going to say 30 days.
The average person washes his or her sheets every 24 days. 60 right. days? What are you talking
well,
about?
Well, you said average, and I just assume the worst.
You just think filth. No, is that
I mean, I mean, because when you say average, I automatically think, okay, so you got to take into account the really nasty, dirty people who don't wash their sheets.
Yeah.
And that's going to skew it. You know, you're looking for the medium.
Yeah.
It's like the age in this room. I bring it down.
Wow. That's right. That was uncalled for.
Significantly.
Huh? What? Hey? Where's my walker? They surveyed more than 1,000 Americans. Respondents indicated they didn't consider it to be gross until when? When did they consider it to be gross? Okay.
60 days.
60 days. Okay.
No, if the average is 24, I'm going to say it gets to be gross around 40.
That's very good. 35 days. Married couples typically change their linens every 20 days. Single respondents leave their for 37 days. Single men were especially dirty, changing their sheets every 45 days. Women also clean sooner after sex. They usually wash their sheets about 4 days after having sex. Men, 11.7.
4 days?
Do you wash your sheets every time after you guys have sex?
No.
No. Come on. Do most people? Every time?
I think it depends who the partner is, right?
It depends on what you're trying to cover.
Yeah. I'm every couple weeks. I mean, I don't really think of myself as a clean phobe. I can show you my house right now. But am I an outlier? Because I do this every couple weeks?
I wash my sheets fairly regularly, like every other weekend.
Yeah. So
it's usually the start of my Saturday morning routine. I get up, I go to the gym, I come home because I'm a bed maker.
Yeah,
not
that's
a bed
right.
wetter, a bed maker. I make the bed every morning.
No, you're a phone wetter in your bed sometimes.
Yeah, let's not talk about that. Yeah, I'm still bitter.
Yeah.
But so I'll go to the gym, purposely not make my bed. Then I come home and I start laundry for the day. And the first thing I get out of the way, because we have one of those – They're terrible because they're so small, the stacked washer and dryers.
Yeah, it's
so you get about two-thirds an actual load in there.
Well, how about the mansion in Kenwood that you guys are buying?
I'm assuming you got with your the six oil tanks in the backyard?
Yeah, you got your separate room for the washing machine and dryer?
We've got three washrooms, like laundry rooms.
Wow.
Yeah, one for John, one for me, and one for the cat.
Oh, I bet the cat wouldn't like that.
No. Not the cat. It's just for the cat's things.
Yeah. Carter, you think the cat would like being in the washing machine? I think we'd have to. You're like every 6 months. I think you've told me before.
That's yeah, pretty much. Wait till they start get growing, you know, fuzz.
When there's a fungus on, just on it, 58-10. Yeah, somebody says bye bye Lindsay 60. Yeah. Would you ever feel like, let's say you're in the dating stage, and you're over at his or her house? How far in the relationship do you have to be where you say, man, you got to wash these sheets? I mean, you got to be pretty comfortable with that, don't you? To call them out?
I think the way to do it is to volunteer to wash their sheets. They probably get the hint, you know?
How do you volunteer to wash
hey, I'm going to do some laundry. Do you mind?
Oh, that's okay. Okay. That wasn't a bad segue.
Would you like to come over? I mean, I just washed mine a couple days ago. See, I don't have a day. Do you have a day when you do this? It's just I pay a little tension. And
see, what's bad in my situation is because we sleep in separate rooms. It's two sets of sheets.
Yeah, well, hello, I have children, so it's plenty of
sheets. Well, that was your decision.
Yes, I hope it was my decision or else there's an investigation needs to take place. I think tomorrow just 3 hours in this topic, Carter. You know, I mean,
right on.
Yeah. Have you declared where you're at? What are you now? Because she says the two of us are together every other week.
About a week, every week.
Oh, every week? Mm-hmm. Wow.
There's nothing better, when you climb into
Hold on a second. Let's slide away. Did you hear him say that? I'm not doing it. So, in other words, the women do that. Is that what you're saying?
Is that slave labor if you make your children wash your bed sheets?
Not at all. Productivity.
Yeah, exactly. Hey,
learning experience.
You want to have roof over your above you? God, I really screwed that phrase up. Should I stop talking right now?
Please.
Ceiling, roof, something like that. Let's go wash your sheets.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.